We'll just have a short word of prayer and then we'll hear the word together. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, we do thank Thee that we can sit at Thy feet and the feet of our Saviour tonight and hear His word. Our Lord, we pray that we may be like Mary of old, Lord, who sat at Christ's feet, listening to Him, listening for His voice, the voice of the Good Shepherd. May we hear Him speaking to us tonight, to our hearts and to our souls, to help us to see where we stand before Thee, whether we be in the faith or not. And if we are in the faith, we pray that Thou strengthen our faith and our hold and our trust, our confidence in Thee. So Lord, help us, we pray tonight, as we hear the word, to examine ourselves. And Lord, if we're not in Christ, that we might seek Him till we find Him. And if we are, we might encourage ourselves in Him and in the Lord our God. So do be with us now, we pray. Forgive our sins and help us through Thy grace and by Thy Spirit. And we ask it in our Saviour's name. Amen. 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 Well, dear friends, our text for tonight is Isaiah chapter 26 and verse 4. Won't be surprised to hear that, seeing that I started with this verse and I read this chapter 2 as our first reading tonight, our Old Testament reading. In this verse we read the following words, and I particularly want to draw your attention just to this aspect of trusting in the Lord, trusting in God. Exhortation here, the injunction is, trust ye. If you're one of God's people, if you're a Christian tonight, trust ye in the Lord forever. Why? Well, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. So trust ye, you trust in the Lord forever, but in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Now, if you remember, because it was Remembrance Sunday last week, we concluded last Sunday night from the morning, looking together at Deuteronomy chapter 15 and verse 15, and thou shalt remember, so I chose it for Remembrance Sunday text, thou shalt remember that thou hast a bondman in the land of Egypt, and the Lord thy God redeemed thee. Therefore I command thee this thing today. So we had that as our text all of last Sunday, and we were looking especially at least on the Sunday evening, at three further things, three additional things that we ought to remember, if we're Christians, that we ought to remember about our redemption or our salvation. So in the morning, can you remember, we saw, first of all, that salvation is all of God. Secondly, it's all of grace. It's all of God's undeserved and unmerited favour. Thirdly, that it was all planned before the foundation of the world. That the planning of our salvation, our redemption, goes all the way back, even before the beginning of creation and in eternity. So we looked at those things in the morning. In the evening, the three further things were that redemption, that in redemption, all the three persons of the Godhead or the Holy Trinity are very much involved. That it is something which is perfect, and it is something that if we have been redeemed, or if we're going to be redeemed sometime in the future, if God grants to us repentance and faith in Himself, this is something which will be completed. We will, each of us, if we believe in Christ, we will persevere to glory or to heaven. And we concluded, I trust, by asking some relevant and pertinent questions in the light of those points that we looked at on that occasion. So that's what we were looking at not only last Sunday morning, but also last Sunday evening, last Lord's Day as a whole. But now tonight, we're going to carry on this little series that I began some time ago for Sunday evenings, a series on Christian, on what's true of us if we are Christians. We looked over a few Sunday evenings about the truth about the Christian, that every single Christian is a believer. That is something that we have in common with those who have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ. So we looked at faith. We looked at saving faith. But now, before the last couple of Sundays, we came on to look at our confidence or our trust in God, our Christian confidence or trust in God. And that is what I want us to carry on looking at tonight. I wonder, as you sit there this evening, I really do wonder, are you a Christian? I hope that you are. I really do, that you're somebody whom God has turned from your sin and from the world and to his Son and to faith in him. I really hope you're somebody who has this, that you have a Christian confidence or a Christian trust, a Christian faith in God. Well, this evening what I want to see in your case and in my case, to see if this is something that we do have. Do you have a Christian confidence or trust? Do I? What is true of that? What are the things, if we're Christians, we don't place or put our confidence or trust in? Or what is that person that we do put or place our confidence or our trust in? So let's look at these things this evening in the following way. First of all, then, concerning confidence or trust, who is it, what is it that we are not to, and we won't if we're Christians, place or put our confidence or trust in? We're Christians, we won't put our trust in these things. If we're not Christians, probably we do, and we are, and will do in the future. What are they? Well, first of all, they are idols. And when we think about idols, we mustn't just think about the kind of things that foreign people in our country, even English people today, worship in terms of other world religions like Hinduism and such like. There's more to idols than just that. Little statues that people bow down and worship. But if we have a Christian confidence or trust, we're not to put it in idols. Secondly, we're not to put it in people, in other people. There's a sense in which, even as Christians, we trust in others in a certain way to a certain degree. But we're not to put our trust in other people with the trust that we're to put in God. That is the thing that we've got to watch. That is what is wrong. So we've got to be careful about that. Not to trust in other people with the trust that we're to trust in God with. And also we're not to trust in ourselves. Not even to trust in ourselves. We're not to have a kind of a self-trust, a sinful self-confidence. That is wrong as well. But then positively, also this evening, if we are Christians, who are we to place or put our confidence or trust in? Well, of course, we're to put it in God. And we're to put it in him in terms of the first person and the second person and the third person of the Holy Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So you can see, my dear friends, as we go through these few things this evening, we can see whether or not we are Christians. We can see whether or not we have a Christian faith, a Christian confidence, and a Christian trust. If we have, we won't be putting our trust in these first things. We'll be putting our trust in the latter, in our God, and in our Creator and our Saviour. Well, let's look at these things and examine ourselves and search our hearts in the light of them. So first of all, negatively, if we're believers, who is it or what is it that we're not to place our trust in? Well, the first thing here, my dear friends, is this. We are not going to be those who are going to be placing our confidence in idols, in the idols of this world, in the gods, the little gods, gods with a little g, of this world. What are idols? Well, idols, I could remember a definition by Matthew Henry about what an idol is or what a god is. It is everything that takes the place of God. And so you see, it's not just these kind of little images that people fall down before in kind of world religions. It can be many things. It is all those persons and all those things that we may place or put our trust in that ought rather to be placed or put in God. That's what idols are, aren't they? Instead of a trust in God, people put their trust in these things or in other individuals. They can be little images, little statues, and could be many other things. Well, why is it that we're not to put our trust in these, not to trust in idols? Well, one reason, of course, is because if we do so, such is disobedience, isn't it? And such is breaking God's commandments, especially the first two commandments in Exodus chapter 20 and verses 1 to 6. God says there, thou shalt have no other gods before me. He's very clear and categorical. And thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or that is in earth beneath or that is in the water under the earth and so on. So we're not to do this. We won't do it as Christians because it's breaking his commandments, the first two of his commandments. Also to do this by definition is idolatry. It is wrong in the sight of God and it is displeasing to him. And we are told in Isaiah chapter 42 and verse 17 that doing this is something which is foolish. It is silly. It is a vanity. It is something that is shameful because of the actual idol itself, especially idols in terms of religious statues and religious images. They're not living. They can't see. They can't hear. They can't smell. They can't act. They can't do. And so those who put their trust in him, in such things, are being very foolish indeed. It is a shameful thing to do so. And also putting such confidence in idols is something which is a superstitious nonsense. Well, my dear friend, this evening, do you put your confidence or trust in idols? Do you put your confidence in anything but the true and the living God? Do you put your confidence in the idols of this world, the gods of this world? Whatever kind of form they come in, as I say, I'm not talking here so much about religious statues and such like, but anything that you place in that place of God, only he should be worshipped and praised and trusted in. So we're not to trust in such, and we won't as Christians, but if you're not a Christian, you may do. You may be trusting in those. Well, who else are we not to trust in as Christians? Not any idols, of course, that goes without saying. But we've got to be careful that we don't trust in other people. Again, those that I'm going to mention now this evening, there's a certain sense in which we can trust in them, and we do trust in them. But what you and I have got to be very careful about is this, that we don't place confidence or trust in the following with the trust that we should really be showing and putting in God. What are they? What are other people that we should not be trusting in? Well, the scripture speaks, first of all, in terms of friends. Yes, we trust in our friends, perhaps in close friends, bosom friends. But my dear, we've got to be very careful. You don't trust them with the trust that you should trust in God. Guides, husbands and wives. Listen to Micah, the minor prophet Micah chapter 7 and verse 5. He says there, or God says there, trust ye not in a friend. Put ye not confidence in a guide. Probably there a reference to a husband. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. It is very easy for somebody, it's even easy perhaps for us as Christians, to lean upon others, close friends. Husbands and wives. Yes, we can share with them. We can rely upon them to a certain degree. We can lean upon them to a certain degree. But we've got to be very careful we don't place them in the place of God, that we're trusting only and implicitly in him. And of course, the other kind of people that we're not to trust, we've got to be careful. Well, perhaps this is something very much in the past. We've got to be careful that we don't trust in hosts or armies. You think in times past, particularly in the days of the children of Israel. Israel in their history, very often they put their trust in Egypt and Egypt's armies, when they should have been trusting in God for protection from their enemies. It's very easy for people to trust in armies and in military forces and in such military hosts. But we're not to do that for our protection. For the protection of our country and of our people. And then there are those who trust in physicians and in doctors. Yes, we may use doctors, we may use surgeons, we may turn to medics to help us when we are sick and ill, and if we need to have surgery. But my dear friends, we mustn't make the same mistake of someone like King Asa. Remember, he in 2 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 12, he was a man who was diseased in his feet until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease, he sought not to the Lord. He didn't trust in God, but to the physicians. When we're ill, we can go to the doctors. We can get them to diagnose us. We can get them to prescribe medicines for us. But we're never to trust in them with the trust that we should be putting in God. Only he at the end of the day, well, he can use them, but only he can heal us of sickness and illness and disease. But people very often do that today, don't they? How many people are putting their trust in doctors and in surgeons and in medics when really they should be putting their trust in God? And finally, of course, and this is very much very relevant to today and very much relevant to our own country, when we think of others that we're not to put our trust in, we think of princes or leaders of countries, kings and queens, and the politicians of our country. How many people in our country today are really looking to our politicians, to the prime minister or to the next prime minister, to the party that's in power today or the party in power the next day, in the future? They're looking to them, when really they should be looking to God. It's a great failing of our country today. Our country should be looking to God to change our society, when really they're looking to men and to political leaders. The psalmist says it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes, in rulers, in leaders, kings, queens, and political leaders. So, my dear friend, again, can I ask you, are you somebody who puts your trust in idols, whatever they might be, whatever shape or form? Well, then how can you be a Christian if you're putting your trust in those for whatever it might be, even perhaps for salvation in some way, rather than in God? And also here now, are you somebody who is putting your trust, putting your confidence in other people, whoever it might be, with the confidence you should really be displaying and focusing and concentrating upon God? Whether it be close friends, relying upon them, husbands, wives, doctors, politicians, whoever it might be, where is your trust tonight? Is it not in God? Well, then if it's not, how can you possibly call yourself a Christian? Then finally, just to bring this right home to you and to me, we also got to be careful we don't put our trust in ourselves. And there are lots of things about ourselves that we are not to put our trust in. For example, we're not to put our trust in our good works. Because it's putting our trust in our own works of righteousness, the deeds of which there is no, by the deeds of which there is no justification or salvation. Be very careful about that. Don't put your trust in yourself. Don't put your trust in your good works, as though your good works are going to save you. Good works has never saved a single person, never saved a single sinner, never saved a single soul. There's only one work that saves, and that is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And in Job, God calls all such confidence in good works, in self, it's like a spider's web. It is something that is weak and will not hold, won't do us any good. We're also those who are not to put our trust not only in our own good works for salvation, we're also those we're not to trust even our own hearts, because those who trust in their own hearts are trusting in such a deceitful and desperately wicked, is trusting in a deceitful and desperately wicked thing. And the Bible calls such a person in Proverbs chapter 28 and verse 26, a fool Don't trust in yourself. Don't trust in your own good works for the salvation of your soul. Don't trust in your heart, even in your own hearts, because the heart is desperately wicked, is deceitful above all things, we have in Jeremiah, and desperately wicked. Such people who trust in their own, even in their own hearts, to know how to live. And to live in this world, God calls them a fool. Of course, there are other people who are quite wealthy, and they trust in their wealth. Do you know anybody like this? Are you like this yourself? Are you trusting in your riches for your security in this life? Trusting in your wealth? God says in Jeremiah chapter 9 and verse 23, he says, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches. The unbeliever, trust in his riches, trust in his wealth, like that foolish farmer who trusted in all of his wealth and building barns and bigger barns until that night his soul was required of him. And he had to leave those riches behind. It didn't do him any good. We're not to trust in our wealth, in our riches, because that is dangerous. Such who do this will fall, Scripture says, Proverbs 11 verse 28, and because riches are very, very uncertain and unsure things. We can't rely upon them. They could be taken away from us in this life, or we could be taken away from them in death as we go into eternity. Naked we come into this world, and naked we go out of it. We're also not to rely upon our own strength, our moral strength, our physical strength, or our spiritual strength, because without God we can do nothing. John 15 and verse 5. And my dear friends, we're even not to rely upon our own understanding, are we? Because all our ways or the direction of our paths are not in ourselves, the Bible teaches. That's why we have Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Want guidance and direction? Have it from God, and not lean and trust upon our own understanding, our own hearts, and our own so-called wisdom. So my dear friends, these are the things, or these are some of the things, that we're not to put our confidence or our trust in. Not in idols, not in other people, and not in ourselves. Well, do you do this? Is this where your confidence is? Is this where your heart is tonight? Well then, really my dear friend, you're not a believer, you're not a Christian. Because somebody who's a Christian doesn't trust in these things, doesn't lean upon these things, doesn't look to these things. But rather a Christian's trust is elsewhere. A Christian's trust is in someone else. So secondly, let's now put it positively this evening. Let's look at who we are to confide in, who we are to trust in. This is not true of the unbeliever, but this is true of all believers. We are those who trust in God. Think of that great motto of Cromwell, trust in God. Oh, I'll keep your powder dry, be practical. Oh, yes, but first of all, initially, primarily, always trust in God. And the Christian trusts in the triune God, in God the Father, and in God the Son, and in God the Holy Spirit for everything. Let me show you how, let me open this up for you. We're to put our trust in God, first of all, in God the Father, and in the one who is the God of creation, and in the God of providence. We trust him as this. As the God of creation, the God of creation of all things, the heaven and earth and everything, and all people, everything, and the God who is the God of providence. We Christians, we trust him for these things. We trust him to enable us, empower us and permit us to do our daily work from day to day. We trust him to preserve and to sustain our lives, to give us life day after day, to the end of our lives. We trust him for protecting us from dangers in this life. and for protecting us from all of our enemies. And we trust him for providing us with all those things that we have need of for our bodies, all of our temporal needs, and also all of our spiritual needs as well. This is the Christian position. We trust in God. We trust in the Father, the first person of the Trinity. We trust in this first person of the Godhead. We trust him as the God of creation and providence for these things. But we also trust him as the God of our redemption or the God of our salvation. He has saved us, and we trust in him that he will continue his great faithfulness toward us and be faithful in all his promises toward us, that he'll continue to be gracious toward us and to give us grace as we daily have need, grace to live the Christian life, that he'll be our God and our Father, who will not only protect us and provide us with grace and so on, but he'll be a God who'll guide us with his eye, God who'll guide us with his counsel, and afterward receive us to glory. We trust him for that, for guidance. We trust him to continue to love us, and we trust him to continue to show his power toward us, to keep us from falling. We're kept by the power of God through faith to salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. See, my dear friends, as Christians, the Christian position is not just a negative position, is it? Yes, there are certain things that we do not trust in any longer. We don't want to trust in them. Idols, other people, ourselves. But we live a positive life. The Christian life is a positive life. Faith is a positive thing. We are those who trust in God. We trust in the Father as our Creator and as the God of providence, and the God of our salvation, and these things to do with our salvation. Do you? Do you trust in him? That's the Christian position, isn't it? Do you trust in the God who has made you, the God who sustains you, and a God who has redeemed you and saved you by faith in his own dear Son, Jesus Christ, who came, suffered, bled and died in order that your sins might be forgiven, and you might come back to this God in repentance and faith. We not only trust in God the Father, as Christians, of course, we have a Trinitarian trust. We trust in the Son of God also, the eternal Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And what do we trust the Son of God for? Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We trust him for his grace toward us also, that we might be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. The grace that saves us, the grace that sanctifies us, the grace that God continues to give to us, to continue to look to Jesus Christ and to disciple him and to follow him all the way to glory. We trust in Christ for that. We also trust in him not only for daily grace, but for daily might, power and strength. Paul said to the Ephesians, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Do you trust in Christ for that? Only for his grace towards you, that it might be sufficient day by day, but that daily he might give you the strength that you need to live the Christian life and to do those things that he's called you to do, those good works that he's before ordained, that you might walk in them. And we are those who trust in Christ for salvation full and free, and for his perfect and spotless righteousness. We trust in ourselves. We've seen already we don't trust in our own good works for a right standing before God, but we trust in the person and the work and the life and the death and the resurrection of our Saviour for our salvation and for a right standing before God and to be justified in his sight by faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. So do you trust in Christ? Are you leaning upon him? You trusting in him for the salvation of your soul and for the continuance in the Christian life? And then finally, if we're Christians, we are those who are trusting in the Spirit of God, in the Father, in the Son. But we also are those who are trusting in the Spirit of God. He is the one who daily brings grace to us. He's the one who first brought grace to us that we might be saved, we might be regenerated and be born again. He was behind that. But he is the one through whom grace is daily communicated to us to live out the Christian life, to be always abounding in the work of the Lord. It's the Spirit who guides us from day to day. It's the Spirit of God who gives us the grace to persevere through the Christian life. It is the Spirit of God who helps us to intercede and to pray with thanksgiving, with supplications to God. And he is the one who is able, it's through him that God infuses his strength into us. We might be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus and in God. So, my dear friend, do you trust in the Spirit of God as well? That is where the Christian is. The Christian man, woman, boy or girl. They're those who trust also in the third person of the Trinity, God the Holy Spirit, God the Holy Ghost. So my dear friends, we've carried on looking now at Christian confidence or trust. Negatively, what are who we're not to trust in? Idols, other people in a way which is wrong in the sight of God, sinful in the sight of God. We're not to trust in ourselves. But then secondly, we've seen positively who we are to trust in, to confide in, to look to lean upon, moment by moment, day by day, week by week, month by month, as years go by as Christians. We're those that are trusting God, our Father, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. So my dear friends, do you not place your trust in that first group? Are you those who put your confidence in the latter, in the God who is trustworthy, the God who can be trusted, the God who is faithful, God the Father, God the Son, the God who will never let us down, God who will always be faithful to us and true and faithful to all of his promises, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That, my dear friends tonight, that is Christian confidence. That is Christian trust. Do you have it? Are you a believer? It's negative things. Not interested in those anymore. Not relying on those things. I'm relying upon God himself. A great God and a great Saviour.